Tonight's program, which we are dedicating to some rare and fascinating recordings of Jewish music from the Levant to the Lower East Side, as evidenced by our part one that you just heard, that Doina will be featuring many, many rare and wonderful recordings. The sound quality we will do our best with, some of these dating very near the turn of the century, as that first piece. That was part one of a two-part Doina, and don't worry, we'll hear the next part shortly. The artist is S. Kush, not much known about him. He was the Nai player, accompanied by the cymbalum. And the recording comes from the Favorit label in Germany, which started about 1905 or 1906. And the recording itself was made in, what is now the Western Ukraine. At that time, it was Southeast Poland. And this German record company actually made forays out into the field, and one of those locations was one we just heard from, then known as the town of Lemberg, which is now known as Lvov, by the way. Let's listen now to part two of this Doina, the artist S. Hush, 1906.
Oh,
That was the violinist Max Leibowitz with Philip Friedman at the piano We apologize for the beginning portions of that disc. There's a pressing flaw in the original disc that we are using, recorded in New York City in July of 1916. The month before, by the way, Leibowitz went to the Victor Studios and made some recordings as a trial, which were rejected for issue. But as you see, a month later, he went over to Columbia. And he's a particularly important figure in early Jewish recording. He later played not only with an orchestra under his own name, but also with the great Hachman Orchestra. Max Leibowitz, and the title, which is listed actually in discographies slightly different from the label, it's Yiddishe Chused, or Yiddishe Chusedel. You can pick the one that's proper in syntax. I have no idea, but I think a wonderful recording. Before that, we heard from Yankovitz and Goldberg, also recorded in New York City, this time in April of 1913. We heard once again the cymbal, or the cymbalum, as we heard up top, this time accompanying the accordion of Max Yankovitz. And the piece was the Turska Narodna Igra, or a Turkish national dance, recorded for Columbia in 1913. Up top, we heard the recording from Lemberg of S. Kosh, and we heard the second part of the Dojna. Lemberg, as we said, formerly part of Poland, but in fact, all evidence seems to point that Mr. Kosh was Romanian. The records actually, in more than one pressing, show Jewish Romanian instrumental. Being a Dojna itself is evidence well enough. Our next recording dates from between 1913 and 1916. It's not listed in any discography that we could find, although this orchestra did record elsewhere. It's the Orchestra Romanesca, and the piece is Sirba Bucurestilor. Thank you.
Thank you.
We heard three very different orchestras, Jewish orchestras from the New and the Old World. First, the Orchestra Romanesca, which sounds to me to be a Jewish Romanian orchestra, actually released in the Romanian series about 1916, the Sirba Bucarestilor. After that, we followed with what sounds to be a very alien type of sound, even to experts of early Jewish music. This is an Armenian recording, as announced by the voice up front, an Odeon recording from Armenia, and is written as such, the Dalvoriki Zavag, which is a march tune, and a very strange one, but I think has a wonderful groove, and certainly Armenian Jewish recordings are not too common, so we don't have much to compare that to, especially prior to World War I. We then followed with a potpourri of operatic tunes. This came from an imported recording from Russian gramophone label. And this orchestra actually might be from Western Ukraine, the Valenska Gorodska Theater Orchestra, playing that very involved medley of almost light classical and very intricately arranged. Again, just prior to World War I. Speaking of which, we have next another Russian, this time in America, a Russian Jew by the name of Grigory Matusevich. He was survived by a son, and at least, I believe, a grandson, who continued this tradition of Russian Jewish concertina music, and some wonderful, actually titled Piccola Armonica Soli. And this one, called the Concert Polka, was actually offered as a polyglot sort of issue on the Victor label, again in the late teens. So let's listen now to Grigory Matusevich and the Concert Polka. Thank you.
Thank you.
And they're a recording of a person known sometimes as the Jolly Gypsy. His name was Mishka Tsiganov, and he recorded Jewish accordion solos circa 1920. In fact, this is a virtually unknown and unlisted recording, his very first. It's called Koilen Dance, an accordion solo by this gypsy player who actually recorded quite a few instrumental pieces. If you're just joining us, this is the Secret Museum of the Air. My name is Pat Conti. Along with Citizen Kafka, we are examining primarily, to this point, historic early Jewish recordings of instrumental folk music or traditional music, mostly prior to World War I, it turns out. Before that, we heard from N. Hollander, who might actually be, again, a Romanian Jew. He played the harmonium solo, as it's listed, the accordion with the cymbalum, I believe, although just listed as Jewish-Russian accordion solo. The one we heard was the Rumansky Bulgarish, was the harmonium solo, as listed by N. Hollander on the Columbia label. This recorded January 7th, 1915. We started with a virtuoso player by the name of Grigory Matusevich, who appeared on American Victor labels, and just a remarkable instrumental on the concertina, very high soprano sound and fluty reeds that I just can't describe. Well, you heard it anyway. We return now to another rare recording from the Favorite label from Germany. This is remarkable in its sound quality, dating from about 1910, and issued as an imported master, oddly enough, for the Columbia label. This Russische Jüdische Orchestra is not listed, and therefore we really don't have much information about them. But it is very telling in its approach to the music that is to come, the klezmer music that we know from the New York scene at about that time, which is just blossoming, at least on disc. So we go back to 1910, a German recording of the Russische Jüdische Orchestra. Thank you.
Маруся замуж виходить.
Finally reached the summit of klezmer music. It took us a while, but we got there. That was the, as announced, by the way, you might remember, the piece called Trepek by the orchestra known as the Ruskiye Narodnye Orchestra, or Orchester. And that masks the identity, but certainly not the style or the sound of Nifty Brandwein, Naftali Brandwein on the clarinet, taking a lot of chances there, a lot of squeaky chances, but it just all adds to the exuberance of this just remarkable recording, recorded in New York City in September of 1922. The mysterious band, but the unforgettable sound of Naftali Brandwein. Before that, we heard someone called Alex Fidel, appearing on the new Emerson recording. I still believe in the acoustic era. And actually, he's featured soloist in the Reiterman and Beckerman Orchestra. The piece was called A Europäische Kammeriska. We started up top full circle with the Russische or Russisch-Jüdische Orchester And this, again, a favorite or favorite matrix from Germany, but appeared on a grand prize Columbia record, again, about 1910. And the piece, labeled as Russian Jewish Dance, is Novobrash, that's the Russian name, and under that the Yiddish name Chusen Chale Mazel Tov, from a favorite label about 1910. Well, we've gone pretty much the entire program in the acoustic era. I don't have a problem with that. I hope you don't. I can't imagine that. But we are moving now to another remarkable recording, but we're well into the electric era. We have, in effect, skipped an entire age of this music, as was clarioned there by Mr. Braunwein. But we go to an unusual label, the USSR label, a special dedicatory label for the New York World's Fair in 1939. This Freilach that we are going to hear, labeled as Jewish folk music, is credited to the composer M. Rabinovich. And it turns out to be he is the leader of the state ensemble of Jewish folk music that apparently appeared at one of the pavilions of the World's Fair in New York in 1939 and issued in commemoration of their visit to the United States, appeared these records that were originally manufactured in the Soviet Union. So let's listen now to this recording, actually a favorite of Moses Ash, who later issued these on his budding Folkways label, a Freilach from the State Ensemble of Jewish Folk Music, 1939. Thank you. Well, it certainly is dramatic to listen to nearly an hour of acoustic music and then be just pummeled by such a large ensemble sound. That sound was provided at first by the State Ensemble of Jewish Folk Music for the USSR, a World's Fair recording, and a similar one that was issued actually by the Stinson Trading Corporation of New York City, but actually another Soviet recording called the Moldavian Dance. That's what we just heard. A very similar big orchestra. And their name, by the way, is the Bessarabian Orchestra of Merit. Again, from about 1939, and bears the same Soviet symbol on each label of a worker carrying a torch above his head. Dramatic music to end our program with. We want to go full circle, and we have to end with another Doina. This one, of course, Ukrainian again, a Zvist solo, a whistling solo, something that Kafka and I are very fond of, which appears to be from the Ukraine as well. This recording, recorded in March of 1918 in New York City, and it's simply titled Doina. Whistling solo, Romanian dance music. And we'll leave you with that for this edition of the Secret Museum of the Air. Please join us again next time. This is Pat Conti for Citizen Kafka, bidding you all good night.